NOAAB, Plant Science into Practice.
Hi, welcome to this sort of a first catch-up on all things weeds. So I'm Will Smith and I'm here with John Cousins. So we're actually here at our diverse weed site here in Cambridge. We're actually surrounded by what is an overwhelming number of mainly poppies, white campion, we've got some cleavers in there. But overall, you know, dozen other species in this field. We've just had our diverse weeds open day, but before we sort of go on and talk about some of that, I just want to sort of catch up on the year, John, really. So what have we been seeing across the country this year, and particularly in relation to blackgrass and grass weeds?
Well, I think it's you know, more than any other year, probably, in recent memory, it's incredibly variable. You know, we've seen all those stresses around weed control, grass weed control, play out in a single year. In the autumn, we had very dry conditions followed by rainfall events rather than just high rainfall. So we've got that transition from dry to wet. That's meant we've got every possible combination out there of crops drilled in dry conditions, herbicides put on in those conditions of poor control. We've got crops that were drilled in difficult conditions to get good seed coverage, herbicides applied, and then followed by high rainfall events, and we've got crop damage. We've got good outcomes. We have got some crops drilled a little later, good soil moisture came, and then the herbicides worked really well. So right from the start, it was challenging and incredibly variable. And then obviously we went into that early new year where the crops themselves were not closing over. We weren't getting the canopy coverage we wanted, that long period, almost 2 months with no rainfall. And that then has fed through into some of the weed control that we saw in the autumn is not being translated into reduction in seed return. So if you think about all those different elements playing out differently in different fields, it's an incredibly variable picture out there for blackgrass control and for other autumn germinating grass weeds as well, I think.
Yeah, so it does seem really that, you know, largely growers have been doing the right thing,
yeah.
Following those messages of trying to delay drilling where possible, maybe prioritising certain fields. And really that's going to have to be keeping the message going there.
Yeah.
These are still things that over, you know, last 5-6 years we've really, you know, really found strong data, not just us, but across the industry. And those key drivers need to be.
Yeah, so I mean the strategy is, you know, the fact that in individual years we find challenges around it doesn't mean the strategy isn't right. We're incredibly confident. We've seen the results in lots of places. As you say, a risk-based management approach where we know where the pressure is coming from grass weeds. If you've got a bad year this year with lots of fresh seed, maybe you haven't ploughed. Maybe this is the year to sort of strategically use that ploughing. Drilling day, we know the massive role that plays, and that's always going to be part of it. And then as you say, for blackgrass in particular, looking at there will be some fields where autumn sown crop isn't a viable option. We need to look at spring cropping. So yeah, we've I think exactly as you say, those messages, that strategy, that's really cut through, I think.
I think spring cropping, you know, just mentioned that, I think actually it's worth, you know, pulling that out further. I think we've seen a rise of spring cropping, I think mainly in reaction to blackgrass.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
It's good sometimes for the markets, but largely because of blackgrass and diversifying rotations. Do we think that we're seeing potential for selection at least of spring germinating blackgrass, or is there something a bit more deeper at play here that we need to be aware of?
I mean, I think when it comes to a winter annual like blackgrass adapting to a more frequent spring crops or even to runs of spring crops, there are two aspects in the biology we need to understand. The first is the germination behavior. So obviously, if you all the seeds germinate in the autumn, you have less of that pool of fresh seeds germinate in the spring. So in order to adapt to a spring habit, you maybe need to see some changes in seed biology behavior. And then the second thing that I think we underestimate the importance of is the vernalization element, the vernalization to initiate flowering. Blackgrass being an early winter annual has vernalization, a partial vernalization requirement. And what that means is that you maximize within the population, you're maximizing the fecundity, the seed return of individuals that germinate early in the autumn. But what it also means is if those same individuals germinate late in the spring, they're less fit, they're less vigorous, they produce less seed. Now, obviously, if you've got variability within that vernalization, you can select for individuals that have a lower vernalization requirement and more fit and vigorous in the spring crop. And actually, of those two aspects of the biology, what we think is happening is that whilst we may be seeing relatively small potential to adapt around the germination biology, fresh, viable blackgrass seed will germinate if the conditions are right. Doesn't matter what day of the year it is almost, it will germinate. There's not a massive dormancy or a massive trigger. You know, in some species which are obligate spring germinators, they require certain conditions. It's not like that. It's a very generic set of conditions. But what we think the higher risk is of, and we have a student at the moment who's actually demonstrating that, and we're beginning to quantify this risk a bit better. We are seeing variability in vernalization requirement leading to the potential for these individuals which are more fit setting more seed in the spring crop. That means two things. First of all, it means that we do need to pay more attention to blackgrass control in spring crops than we've had in the past, that springness of the crop in itself isn't enough.
I think we're actually here in the middle of a week of weeds.
A week of weeds.
It's not quite caught on yet, has it?
No, it hasn't caught on. Never caught on.
We'll have to have a word with our Martin colleagues there. But we have, you know, we've had some excellent days. We're down in Kent last week looking at a ryegrass site.
Yeah.
Really high pressure down there. Obviously, it's also strongly in autumn, annual, a bit like blackgrass, and often the management strategies are often too alike. I think some of that is partly why we might be seeing it come in. But we have got some possibly more serious issues with resistance in that species. I'd say
we've
got some good learnings from the field trials. But what else have we been at NIAB been doing? Maybe some of the glasshouse work that you can just sort of touch on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, as you say, that the in practice, the key thing is that ryegrass is not blackgrass. It's not one, there's not one strategy that's going to work for both species. We're going to have to adapt our approaches for ryegrass. The work that we've been doing in the glasshouse, where we've been looking a lot more at resistance testing, resistance surveys, but also cross-resistance testing is ryegrass, one of the real dangers of ryegrass is it is a species that can go on very quickly to generate very high levels of herbicide resistance. So we are seeing flufenicet resistance in ryegrass up to a level of about 10% of the populations we test. That is the first example of a pre-emergence herbicide with resistance. Previously, they've all been contact-acting herbicides. We're also seeing, because of the nature of the resistance mechanism that's giving us flufenicet resistance, patterns across resistance, just a little bit of erosion of efficacy in whole families of herbicides. So really difficult populations are being selected for in the field, and that means we're going to have to really think in a lot more detail about our herbicide programs to tackle that kind of population.
I think understanding what's in your fields I think some one thing I've seen, what we've both seen is that one field doesn't necessarily translate to results in another field. So where you have got poor efficacy of, let's say, an ALS, it might not be the same across the entire farm.
Yeah,
so I think getting your samples tested is important.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, specific fields are actually across a whole farm, and be aware there's a range. If one field doesn't translate to the other.
So I mean that when we did the survey initially, and we had lots and lots of different fields from the same farm in the survey. Actually, if you plot the resistance in one field, status in one field against the resistance status in another field, you might as well pick a number at random. The correlation is that poor. So it literally, you would be better off just guessing than taking the result from one field and transposing it to another field. And that's a real
important. And also, I think you then end up with, somebody hasn't worked in field A, but actually it should be working B, and then they've either gone to an actor that doesn't work, or they're not using anything at all, and therefore missing out on some effective weed control.
So, assuming that a herbicide doesn't work because you've got a test in one field, but actually you've got high efficacy in a second field, you may actually be driving resistance in the actives that you move to. You know, you could have a much more sustainable practice. So looking at populations within fields as individual fields on that sort of level, particularly with ryegrass, more so than ryegrass and blackgrass, is really, really important.
So I think that the one last thing to say, we really are in this, you know, fantastic world of diverse weeds. And at the moment, maybe, you know, we've got some pots behind us that are, you know, completely clean. Control is not difficult if you get it right.
Yeah.
But equally, timing is really important around the application, particularly the RSUs in the spring. And I think that's been demonstrated here. Got another comment on that to make sure that we're applying the right herbicide as well to the right.
Yeah, surface. I mean, you know, we had our diverse weeds event today. And, you know, one of the things that I keep banging on about is there's no such thing as a broadleaf weed herbicide. You know, we've got weeds, we've got herbicides. So we really need to make sure that there is an awful lot of knowledge, technical knowledge. Some of these actives have been around for years. It's underutilized. You know, we do know about the weed spectrum of these herbicides. You don't just pick a broadleaf weed herbicide and attack all your broadleaf weeds. You look at what the species are and you have to tailor your herbicides to that. The other thing in terms of that knowledge that we need to kind of relearn is around timings. Mm-hmm. You know, we routinely tank mix, typically sulfonyl ureas, but even all herbicides to target different broadleaf weeds with fungicides. These are not necessarily the appropriate timings for the herbicide element. You know, we see in the wave trial that we presented today, massive differences in efficacy from the same rate of a sulfonyl urea. You know, the trial has monthly interval applications and we've got almost no control, high levels of control, poor control. And it really is about going back to basics, really understanding that timings, weed size, conditions, these are drivers of weed efficacy. We have that information, we've got to really relearn it, I think.
Okay, thanks, John. That's been really fascinating insight to what's been going on this summer. If you'd like to keep up to date with what NIAB is doing about weed management, then you could join up as a member and receive the results from this season's trials, as well as agronomy strategy and access to NIAB experts across a range of topics. You could follow both myself and John on Twitter, and look out for the next episode of This Weeds Chat later in the autumn.